Hello and welcome to today's episode. Today I am here with Jolene Emery and we're talking about your blueprint for hosting yoga retreats. Super excited to jump into this topic today. You are listening to Creating Wellness from Within, a podcast devoted to helping you live your best life through self-care and wellness. Each episode, we strive to offer you actionable advice and tools to help you on your journey towards greater personal wellness. I am your host, Amy Zellmer. I am editor-in-chief of Minnesota Yoga and Life magazine and author of the Chair Yoga Pocket Guide. I am passionate about yoga, wellness, photography, travel, and all things glittery. You can learn more about me at creatingwellnessfromwithin.com. Today's guest is Jolene Emery, and she is the co-owner of Big Raven Farm, a serene 10-acre country estate with a retreat center located 2.5 hours from Minneapolis in Spring Grove, Minnesota. With 22 years as a yoga practitioner and 12 years as a dedicated instructor, Jolene embodies the essence of mindful living. The farm also serves as the headquarters for Big Raven Yoga, a creative venture crafting custom yoga mats that marry functionality with artistry. Beyond yoga, Jolene shines as a DIY art influencer on social media, igniting creativity in others. Welcome, Jolene. So happy to have you here.
Thank you, Amy. That intro kind of makes me blush. It's so nice.
Yeah. It's wonderful. Well, I'm so happy to have you here and to just be talking about retreats because I know so many people that want to host a retreat and just don't really know how to get started, where to do it, how to do it, you know, all the nitty gritty. And here we have you, total expert on it. So where would you like to start it? Maybe give us a little background on how you came to have this beautiful farm and retreat space.
Sure, that's a great place to start. So as you mentioned, Big Raven Yoga, our yoga mat design and manufacturing arm of our business is where it all started in Minneapolis. And, you know, we were fulfilling orders on our dining room table. And we did that for a couple of years until we, you know, tested the concept that people wanted that particular type of product because we control everything. You know, you can have anything on your yoga mat. And we just wanted to make sure that we had a good proof of concept before taking the next step and buying our own printing equipment. So back in Minneapolis, we were renting time on someone else's press, because as I'm sure you can imagine, it is very expensive to buy that kind of equipment, and you also have to have a place to put it.
Yes.
So as Big Raven Yoga was growing, we started looking for a place to have our own print shop, and we spent about 2 years looking, and we found our home that we now own in Spring Grove. And it had everything. It had, you know, a place for a print shop. It had a space that we could convert into a yoga studio. And it also, you know, sleeps at full occupancy, 18 to 20 people. And it has a commercial kitchen, a dining hall. Like, it was just absolutely perfect for our needs. The only, you know, drawback to our farm was it wasn't a retreat facility. It was a home that had, you know, kind of fallen into disrepair. So we had and continue to have such a big to-do list. but in the 3 years almost on Halloween, it'll be 3 years that we've been here. And by the time this airs, 3 years, I have done so much and we've hosted so many retreats and we've got it dialed in and we've got it figured out. And I think that, you know, for people thinking about a retreat, I think the first question to ask yourself is, what do you want it to be like for the people who attend? Mm-hmm. And how do you want them to leave? If you want them to leave different from when they arrived, there are a few questions you need to ask yourself about where you're going to have that retreat.
Yeah. Yeah. And just, I think defining the type of retreat you want to have, right? Mm-hmm. Is it a wellness retreat? Is it a meditative retreat? Like, you know, what type of retreat do you want to offer?
And what type of experience, right? Mm-hmm. Like if you are looking for, and part of the reason that I'm so passionate about retreats is because, you know, there have been times in my life where I have needed a retreat and I need it next weekend. I can't really wait for that once in a lifetime trip to go to Costa Rica or Bali. Like I need it faster than that. And I also need it to be accessible to my time and my budget. And there aren't a lot of models like ours where, you know, our yoga teachers who host retreats here at Big Raven Farm don't have to factor in airfare. They don't have to factor in, you know, extended times away from home and family and work. And so it's just so much more accessible because you can get there faster and it isn't, you know, something that is a once in a lifetime opportunity.
Yeah. And, you know, just when you travel internationally with the yoga retreat, there's all the coordinating of getting the people to the place.
Exactly.
I know when I did Costa Rica, fortunately we were all flying out of Minneapolis. So we were all together.
Yeah.
Except for a few people who met us in like, I think we were in Chicago. But the logistics of getting, so like we had to spend the night in San Jose. We got in late at night. Had to get to our hotel, spend the night. Then in the morning, we took a bus for 4 hours to Puerto Viejo.
And Amy, what I think you're describing is what, you know, kind of shies people away from saying, I'm going to do a retreat. So retreats in those, you know, destinations are amazing. And I think, you know, abundance and gratitude to folks who are able to do that. What I think is a great place to start for people who want to host a retreat is perhaps something a bit more manageable in that your access to how it goes and the people on the other side is a phone call or a Zoom call away. So just the ability, like kind of, you know, walk before you run, you know, and also offer to your community something that is accessible, you know, for their time and budgets is another thing that, like, I'm an expert at that. Like, I can help you navigate how you do that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So once somebody has established what type of retreat they want to have, and they start looking for a venue, you know, that can also feel very daunting and overwhelming, you know, where do I even begin to look? So what are some things you should look for in a venue?
Yeah. So on like, if, let's say that it's a spectrum of like everybody has their own room and a private bathroom, and maybe it's a spa type situation where there are individual amenities that a person can select. So that would be on one end. The other end is going to be, you know, something like a traditional retreat center that might have also been a camp.
Yes.
People are in bunk, you know, beds. A bunk house, right? Like a bunk house kind of thing. And, you know, meals are edible at best, right? But you're like getting, you get the experience. So there is a wide range of things that you can do. So I think that in thinking about what you want to offer to people and how much work you want to do, that's another thing to think about. Like, do you want to have folks order off a menu? It's probably going to be a little bit more expensive. Do you want to do all of the cooking and food prep yourself? Or do you want to find something in the middle that, you know, speaks to your values as well? So I can talk about what we do here. So for the people who have retreats at Big Raven Farm, we offer a turnkey solution. So if you can find, you know, our facility or one like us, what that means is the yoga teacher and the facilitator just needs to bring the people. You bring the people and we'll take care of everything else. So we offer a whole selection of menus and teachers get to pick, you know, what they're going to serve for the 8 meals that they're here, you know, take into dietary considerations. We always have, you know, vegan, vegetarian, gluten-free, and dairy-free folks who attend. So that's a sensitivity that when you're planning your retreat, you need to be like highly aware of that one. Because again, on the far end of the spectrum, if you're going to the spa, you are, I'm sure that's going to be available and it'll probably be a little expensive. On the other hand, you now are entrusting individual folks or yourself to make sure that you are able to meet that very important criteria. So I encourage folks to really be top of mind, because we're talking too about not just a preference, but a safety issue. You know, we have had guests who are severely allergic to peanuts. And so that means they can't even be in the building, right?
Yeah.
And so it's that kind of caution and, you know, concern that you have to have a trusted partner to make sure that they understand how important that is in your guest experience, but also yours. You want to make sure that you're being responsible and you're tending, right? You are tending to their needs.
Yeah. And to be clear, you guys prepare all the food yourself, correct?
Yep.
For your retreats that you host there.
Yeah. Yeah. My husband is a chef. He's trained in Thailand, and he always teases me that I oversell it. Like, I talk about it too much. And he's kind of like,
I didn't even know he's a chef. I just learned something new.
Yeah. So, and he's also an engineer. So put those two things together. So
that's
he is a software and a mechanical engineer, and he's a chef. So you put that together and what you get is precision. You get precision, and like all of our vegetables are chopped uniform, you know, like he's just so good. And we have the clean plate club always. Like we don't have any waste, and I don't feel like I'm risking anything by tooting this horn, because
he's just that good.
So yeah. So, and our menus are, and that's another thing to think about when you're hosting a retreat, is what is available to your folks attending, because the rules of retreats, in my opinion, are this: if they sleep well and if they eat well, they are going to have an amazing experience. Now, yoga teachers have a lot to do with the programming as well, but if our Maslowian hierarchy of needs, if those base levels, if you exceed their expectations in those two departments, the experience is going to be so much richer for them. Eat well and sleep well.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I love that.
So the whole bunk bed experience.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Not a fan.
Right.
And speaking of food, I just saw a chicken go by your window earlier.
We don't eat them. So, they're friends. They're pets.
No, but I assume you use their eggs.
Yes, we do. Yep. We have farm fresh eggs. We have and I guess too, like if we go back to maybe aesthetic, like that's kind of a popular word. When you're picking your retreat venue, we have had yoga teachers host retreats here that have been to more spa-like destinations where everybody has their own room, and then they come back to the yoga studio and meals are at a certain time, but you may or may not attend them. You know, you kind of choose your own adventure.
Right.
Definitely more an individual experience than a group experience. So, you know, something that's different about choosing a facility like ours is that this is our family home. It's not a spa. And so, you know,
and there's chickens.
And there's chickens, right? There's chickens and dogs. There are deer and raccoons. You know, lots of outdoor spaces for people to be, lots of community spaces. But what yoga teachers have told me that the difference is about, you know, choosing a more spa-like experience or choosing something like a retreat center like mine, is that the caretaking that happens by your host. So not only the yoga teacher, but like by the proprietors, like by Darren and myself. Like, it is our job to make sure that your yoga students and the people registered have an amazing experience. So you're not left alone to curate what that's like. So when you're choosing a facility, I mean, that's another thing in aesthetic that you need to think about. Do you want folks to have individual silos? And I can definitely see a space for that and why you would do that. Do you want them to have, you know, bunk bed mentality where they're together all the time? Or do you want something in the middle where a person can choose their own adventure? Like right now, I'd like to be in the community space, but then now I'm going to take a walk, right? So they get to, you know, figure out what they do based upon what they need. And those have been the happiest retreat participants that I've seen, where they get a little bit of everything.
Well, Jolene, tell us a little bit like what a schedule typically looks like. More specifically at your facility, but what would it like a typical retreat, what would that look like?
Yeah. So if a person were to do a retreat at Big Raven Farm, we have crafted it as like a turnkey experience. So Amy, you would say to me, okay, Jolene, this is my date. I want, you know, and we typically do Thursday through Sunday. And in schedule, I think that's important because Thursday is like a travel day, right? We're not, we're not flying to Bali. We're driving to, you know,
couple hours south of the metro.
Yeah, southeastern Minnesota. So the drive day doesn't really give you a whole lot of opportunity for programming. So we have people arrive on their own time, knowing that there is a 5:30 yoga class when they get here. Teachers can lead that, or I can lead that for them. Just kind of depends upon what they want to do. And then we have a beautiful opening evening meal. We have an amazing pizza oven kitchen set up, and folks can either make their own or Darren makes it. It's amazing. So pizza, salad, some dessert, and then perhaps some candlelight yoga later on. And then in the morning, and this is a thing I think that retreat organizers really need to think about, is when the day starts. Because in our, and I'll use I statements, in my Midwestern mentality, I tend to chalk that schedule full because I want people to get their money's worth.
Right.
Because I was raised by a boomer who was raised by Depression era parents. And you've got to get your money's worth. So what that does though, is it doesn't always give folks the chance to have the retreaty part of the retreat. Yeah. And if you start with, you know, a mandatory, you know, sunrise yoga, it doesn't necessarily serve those folks who never, ever get to sleep in for reasons of home or work. And so I think that in scheduling, having a bit of grace when it comes to the adventure people choose for themselves is really important. So now on the other hand, we have those Midwestern women who are standing in front of the coffee pot at 6 a.m. like
right?
screaming, where's the coffee?
That is not right? me.
Yeah, right. So in your scheduling, I think you just have to figure out what that balance is. And yeah. is it possible to please everybody and give them a little bit of what they need? But typically throughout the day, there are 2 to 3 yoga practices. And then there's programming and free time. And I think that in this choose your own adventure, free time is really, really important.
Yeah.
Because the folks you are serving may not ever get it in their lives away from this experience. So we provide in a retreat packet, we give everybody a sample schedule. So in case you've never done this before and you're not really sure what it's like, sorry, my dog is like right here.
I saw an ear.
So you can just kind of plug it in with what your programming is going to be. And then I think in scheduling too, like, I think it's important to provide options of programming. So, you know, maybe you want to make bracelets. Maybe you want to have me lead a meditative art something. You know, maybe you want to bring a person who does massages and in exchange for their experience, that's what they do. And it becomes a lead generation opportunity for them. We have, you know, places on the farm and most retreats do where you can have some privacy for those kinds of things. I think that anything that you decide, you still leave it up to your guests to choose their own adventure. I think that's really important.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, you mentioned a lot of folks at home maybe don't get to sleep in or just simply have free time.
Exactly. And
especially moms, right? Like they're always tending to everybody else.
Yeah.
And I know when I've gone on two different retreats, Costa Rica and Mexico, and both of them, I never made it to morning yoga. I was like, I'm sleeping in, you know?
And, good for you.
It was very clear from our teacher, come to what you want, take what you need. And we always had an evening, very gentle class in the evening before bed. And in between was the choose your adventure, right? You could go out on outings. You could stay there and read a book at the pool. So I do appreciate having a teacher who tells you, take what you need. Because to be told like you have to be there for the morning, like that feels stressful, right? Like it feels
it is. It's not retreaty.
Exactly.
Yeah. Yes, it's not retreaty at all. And you know, our yoga teachers like you who have been retreating other places, one of the things that they say most often that gave them the biggest value was that they weren't in it alone. So Darren and I are here to alleviate that pressure of being the entertainer, the ringleader, you know, the person who's like driving everything. It can be absolutely exhausting. And so I think if you choose a retreat center where if you're renting the space and you have to bring in your own meals or prepare your own meals, you are on all the time. You do not get a break. You cannot walk away. If you go to a spa, it's going to be taken care of for you, but folks might be in their individual silos, right? Because there's so much autonomy. Whereas a facility like mine, it's in the middle of that, in that you have other hosts to help get you through. And you're only responsible for the programming. Everything else is taken care of for you. Yeah. So that's why we like to say in the blueprint, you know, you just kind of have to figure out what you want it to be like for yourself and also for them. Because, you know, we had a retreat a couple weeks ago. There were 18 people here. And when the yoga teacher was, you know, hugging me goodbye, I asked her if she needed a vacation from her vacation. And she said, no. She said, I feel restored. Because I wasn't alone.
Yes.
And I think that if you want your retreats to be sustainable and if you want to be energized by them, then I think that's something to consider. I also think that with this kind of model, you can have specific program related retreats. For example, let's say to your point about moms, let's say you wanted to do mom's retreat for self-care. You could plan that and find your folks. And like I said, I need a retreat next weekend. I don't want to wait until a year from now. So it gives you the opportunity to be a little bit more spontaneous with your programming and the way in which you provide service to your community. I think that's pretty cool.
I really do appreciate the fact that you are available to lead a class or a meditation. I know both retreats I went on, she brought an assistant with, and both retreats, they were both a week long and out of the country, right? So there's always that chance of illness. And each, both of the retreats, she had a day where she wasn't feeling so hot, right? And so the assistant took over the class. And like when you travel abroad, you definitely have to bring at least one person with you who could take over. And, you know, staying here in the States, you're less likely to have any of those, you know, food and waterborne tummy problems.
Right.
But it's just the fact that like, there's somebody else who could teach, because I think there's value in that. Like, not just having the same instructor the whole time, having someone else come in, it adds a different perspective. And I see a lot of value in that as well. And I assume that's just included with your retreat offering.
Well, and I think too that, you know, the yoga teachers who plan their retreats here, we work together, you know, hand in hand, getting organizing, you know, what are going to be the meals? What are the room assignments? What is going to be your additional programming? Are we going to put anything special in their rooms? You know, one of the program offerings that we have is Darren brings people down to the print shop and they can make their own yoga mat, kind of like a cool yoga workshop.
Uh-huh.
Yep. And so they love it. So they get to, you know, push in the press and push the buttons and all of that. It's very exciting. But to the yoga part, our yoga teacher facilitators also need to be fed and they need to be tended to as well. And so if I can offer some support by leading a class, I am definitely going to do that, or leading folks through meditation or art or any of those things. And that's the thing about the aesthetic, right? Like if you want partnership in your facilitation and your hosting, then you'd probably want to pick a facility like ours where you have partners who are built in who can help you with those kinds of things. The other thing that is a little bit different about our facility and, you know, in this blueprint for planning is Darren and I are right there all the time. We're not in on programming, but we are at meals. We are hosting people in our home. So we're not behind a curtain and we're not walking around with, you know, an apron saying, can I get you more water? We are sitting down at meals with you and really welcoming you into our home. And so I think that has a different feel.
Absolutely.
Because it's just so comfortable and safe and welcoming. And the other thing that I love about our kind of model is that folks can't go into their habits of distraction. So you can't go on a Starbucks run here. You can't take a Target run. There isn't one. Like, this is it. You know, we are just 2 miles from the little village of Spring Grove. But we have a distillery. We have a soon to be brewery. We make soda pop, and that's really about it. So when people are here, they're here.
Yeah.
And it's lovely. It's lovely for them and it's lovely for us. So in your blueprint and in your aesthetic, what do you want? Right? Do you want them to, you want your participants to retreat and be in a place where they won't leave? Or do you want them to be able to go and kind of do some stuff? It just depends.
And so, Jolie, one thing you have not touched on is your sleeping arrangements.
Sure.
You've mentioned, you know, you can fit up to 18 people, and you're not going to be the bunk bed and you're not going to be the spa.
Nope.
So we're in the middle. where are you in the middle?
Yep. So in the middle, we have, and facilities like mine, right? Like these are questions that, you know, you need to figure out about. There are some folks who want their own rooms. And it is a deal breaker for them if they can't have it. And so you have to think about if you're going to offer it, because business owner to business owner, if you don't charge, you know, 2 spots for one, you're losing out. And even though you want to accommodate everybody, there are some things you need to think about. So what we do is we have rooms that all of our rooms are double occupancy. And one of our rooms is a quad. It's like Goldilocks and the Three Bears up there. It's like party central. Everybody loves the quad. But what we do is we are very, very, very forthright with what those rooms are like. And so some yoga teachers offer their retreats and their placements on a first come, first serve basis. So if you want our fancy room with the marble floors and the soaking tub and the beautiful mid-century modern leather couch in it, well, you're going to have to register early to get that one. And you're also probably going to pay a little bit more than the person who's up in the quad sharing with 3 other people and their bathroom is in the hallway. So I think that in how you organize your sales pages and how you tell people upfront what they can expect, you mitigate disappointment. Mm-hmm. And you also, we haven't had anyone complain that I'm in the quad versus I'm in the fancy room, because they knew before they got here and they knew what to expect. And the other way you can kind of buffer that in your registration is with how you price that. They're going to pay more for one. They're going to pay less for the other. And if they want their own, I'm of the belief that if it is that important to a person, that space counts as two, and you don't have to discount that price. I know that's a tough one. It's hard to say, but I mean, if you as, because it's a business, right?
Yeah. Like,
and I think that yoga teachers and studios, we are so, we're in the business of care and tending, and we want it to work out for everyone in the best way for them. But sometimes that is at the sacrifice of self in our business. So I think that if you have a person who wants single occupancy, like let's say it is, you know, $600 per person, that space is $1,200. And I would stick to that. And I know that sounds kind of harsh, but I don't think that you need to compromise your business goals to accommodate what someone else wants for self.
Mm-hmm.
And if they don't want to pay the double, then maybe it's not the right experience for them, because you can't curate that spa experience for them. Like, this is what it is. So, and I do this for my retreats, you know, when they want, it's, you know, it's not, they pay for two. And I'm pretty firm about that, because I could have sold it to someone else.
Yeah.
And usually they're very understanding.
Yeah.
But
yeah. I mean, it makes sense to me.
Me too. But again, it's the trap of being in a profession where we are caretakers.
Yeah.
Like, I want everyone to be happy. And I even have a hard time saying it now. Like, I feel like I sound kind of harsh, or, you know, it's not fair to people who want their own room. And you know what? It might not be, but that's okay. Because we are also in businesses that need to, you know, be profitable.
When you go on a cruise, if you want a single, you pay for the double. I mean,
exactly.
You know,
exactly.
So,
Thank you, Amy. I'm going to steal that analogy.
Yes.
That's a good one. Yes.
Exactly.
Yes.
Cruise ships don't care.
Right. Because we've seen it. We've seen it happen just last month. You know, we had a yoga teacher who had somebody that wanted their own room. They just demanded it. And they paid the same as the people in the quad. And so, you know, she had some feelings to manage, you know, afterwards. But again, in the blueprint, these are all things that, in my experience, if you are upfront and transparent and you let folks know what they can expect, they come in
manage expectations.
And, yes, and ready to receive. The only thing that I oversell is Darren's cooking. And we've had hundreds of people come through, and I'm not worried about that one.
Oh, I love it. Well, Jolene, let's take a moment to share your website. It is bigravenfarm.com. Oh, we got a doggy again.
Sorry.
bigravenfarm.com. And wherever you're listening, there's a clickable link in the show notes, so you can click over to that. But what can people find on your website, and how to get in touch with you?
Yeah, so something to know up front is that if you go to bigravenfarm.com, you are inside of Big Raven Yoga. Darren and I aren't quite ready to have, you know, three websites for all of the things that we do.
I do not blame you.
It's still one website. But on there is really, it's contact forms. And this is such a personal experience that, you know, I'm going to be your partner in this if you're interested in having a retreat here. So it starts with letting me know that you'd like to talk about dates. And then we walk through it together. And I have about a 10-page retreat packet ready for folks who want to, you know, take the first step. And, you know, any facility that you work with, I hope that they've got this prepared for you. So in this retreat packet is a sample agenda, menus that you can choose from, all of the information about our property and how you might use it for the things you want to program, all of our additional amenities, like if you want to have a bonfire with s'mores, if you want to play, you know, lawn, Yahtzee, like whatever it is you want to do, all those things should be listed for you. As well as if you want to go explore the area, here are a few things that you might choose. And then, of course, pricing and our frequently asked questions, and then links to lots and lots and lots of pictures about our facility. And then we also help with your sales pages. And I would hope that, you know, you get a lot of support in that in whatever facility you choose. And so what we do is we offer our yoga teachers the option if they want to put their sales pages and registration pages on our website, we do that for them. Just in case any of the folks looking to have either a retreat with me, and it's all about date, really. Do the dates line up with the time that I have available?
Someone looking for a retreat could go to your site and find something too.
Yep. And it's right at the top on the nav bar. It says retreats, and then a list will be right there. It's high retreat season right now. And we have a couple in November actually, and one of them that, if it's okay if I talk about it, I'm really excited about, is called Shadows and Sunlight. And it is a retreat for managing grief. And it is for anyone who's experienced loss. And the facilitators are an author who's got 80 books under her belt, ranging on a variety of topics. But she lost her dad when she was just a toddler, and she's 53. And so her whole life has been defined by the grief she experiences because of his death. And so, and then there's another woman, TJ. So Lisa was the first one, then TJ. TJ is an artist. And what TJ is going to do is she's going to have participants build an art journal. And Lisa will take them through writing prompts and meditation prompts. And then I'm there to take folks through trauma-informed and grief-informed yoga. And this is our second one. And it's hard to find the right word to describe the experience. It was profound or sacred to be in the company of people going through a grief journey. And it's like an experience that I just will treasure my whole life, to be witness to people when they are at their most vulnerable. Now, that said, it isn't a big crying fest. There's lots of laughing too. And it's not a replacement for, you know, real mental health care. It's just women who have been living with grief and how they cope with it. It's just, this is what I do, and this has helped me. So it's nothing diagnostic. It's more normal people doing normal things.
Love it. Beautiful. Jolene, thank you so much for being here today.
Thank you.
Such great information. Thank you so much for sharing with everyone today.
I'm glad to be here, Amy. Thank you.
And thank you all for listening. I hope you enjoyed today's episode. Please consider leaving a 5-star review wherever you are listening to help others on their wellness journey discover this podcast. And be sure to head over to mnyogalife.com and join our email list to stay in the know of local events, the upcoming conference, and so much more. Thank you all so much for listening, and I'll see you in the next episode.